You are locked into Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday morning. And joining us, as always, joining me, Asher Lowe, as always, is Ben Kenny, of course. But also joining us today on this Tuesday is the artist formerly known as Big Ten Ben. But he's back in costume today. He's got a Big Ten hat on. He's got the Big Ten flags behind him. Ben Stevens, Locked On Big Ten host, or the first Locked On Big Ten host, Ben Stevens, now a host over at Sports Grid, a man on the street at Sports Grid. He does a lot of different things for a really cool betting company down in New York City. Ben Stevens joins us. Ben, welcome back to Locked On Badgers.
Asher, I wear many different hats, and one of them is still a Big Ten hat. Big Ten Ben shall never die. He shall never perish. He will always be a huge part of my heart. So it is glad to be back on the Locked On Podcast Network with you fine folk that came on Locked On Big Ten numerous and copious amounts of time. It is great to be here talking some Wisconsin football ahead of the opener against Penn State. I am so excited to be with Ben Kenny and Asher Lowe, two of my favorite guys all in the Big Ten country.
I still think my favorite moment of podcast history is when I was on Locked On Big Ten, and in the middle of our segment, you got a ring on your home phone that you left unanswered while we were on air, if you will, came back and said, oh yeah, it's my parents' house. They get that sometimes. Yeah. On your first day gone from Locked On Podcast, we played Taps at the start of our show, and I gave a little ode. We've missed you.
Yeah, we have. We absolutely have. But you're back today, and you can find this episode wherever you get your podcast, as you can all week. Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google. Hit that follow button on Apple. Hit that subscribe button on Spotify. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, the show account, for all the info on who's joining, what we're doing all week. That's going to be up every single Sunday, Monday. We're going to give you the outline of the week over at Locked On Badgers on Twitter. Also, of course, follow us at AOW_33, at Ben Z Kenny. And Ben, what's your tag again?
At Ben Scott Stevens. That's bad hosting on you, not knowing your guest Twitter handle. Oh, yeah. Couldn't be me, Scott but Stevens. Hey, whatever.
All I think about when I think of your Twitter is like the biking video where you learned how to bike. But let's move.
You know what's crazy about that? Quick diatribe here before we dive into Big Ten football. Twitter flagged that for a copyright violation and has since been taken down. I had to unpin my pinned tweet. Terrible.
That copyright violation is of Ben himself learning how to ride a bike. I don't know how that could get copyrighted.
But I think it's R. Kelly's I believe I can fly, and we can talk about R. Kelly on a different podcast, but whatever.
No, this is not Locked On R. Kelly. That show, I think, does exist somewhere in the network, maybe. But this is Locked On Badgers, and we're going to get into the Big Ten at large. We're going to get into Wisconsin football. And quickly, Ben, let's run before we get into our betting stuff with our new betting friend here, Ben Stevens of Sports Grid. We're going to go through every single line of week 0/1. I guess now it's week 1 officially. Every single line, pick every single game. All three of us are going to pick them against the spread. Let's have some fun. Zach. Oh, yeah, we are. And Ben and Ben Kenny is the guy you want to fade, by the way. He's the new Ben Stevens after Ben Stevens went 0-10-1 to start the year last year. We'll see if Ben Kenny can match that. But first, Ben, some depth chart stuff. Both Bens, I guess. Ben's plural. Ches Malusi is the starting running back. Not an or designation between him and Jalen Berger. The Clemson transfer today was listed for week 1 as the lone starting running back. I think that definitely surprises us. It surprised basically everybody in the Wisconsin media, Ben, I'd say. And I don't know if it's actually going to come true. I think, Ben Kenny, you don't think that's actually going to come true. But Ches is the starter right now.
Well, I think it's going to come true that he will get the first series and he's seen it as the one, quote unquote. I just don't think it means that much. I think when you look at him and Berger together, they're going to come in with very similar profiles and similar workloads. Like week 1, I'm projecting Ches Malusi somewhere around 16 carries, Berger somewhere around 12, and then maybe 3 or 4 or 5 to Garendo. So even though Malusi is the starter and apparently in camp he had been the one, it's still him and Berger as the 1A, 1B. So I don't think it means that much that he's listed on the depth chart without the or next to his name.
And then the other big, big, big news on the depth chart is one we've been talking about a lot as a position battle. Joe Tippmann, now the starting center listed on the depth chart over Caden Lyles. That one also, I think, came as a bit of a surprise, although the signs were there earlier in camp.
Yeah, but I mean, my only thought is that you don't displace a 2-year starter without showing something really impressive. So I like we'll see. That's the only thing you could really say about it. But I'm impressed that he has risen that quickly.
Well, first and foremost, only on a Wisconsin podcast would the big, big news of depth chart day be about the starting running back and the starting center. But thus, this is a Wisconsin podcast. And when you talk about the Badgers, I thought Ben Kenny just brought up a wonderful point right there, that if you're going to replace Lyles, who is a proven 2-year starter in a program that breeds consistency and that sustainability, especially up front, you have to be showing something pretty special out of Tippmann. So if he is going to be your starting center, I don't think that's cause for concern. I think that's cause for confidence in that, okay, this guy is one of the future center greats here at the University of Wisconsin. So I like it. I think it's a great move. And I think Wisconsin is certainly gearing up and getting ready to go for that week one opener against Penn State.
Today's episode, before we get into our betting picks for week one in that Penn State game and every other game with Sports Grid, Ben Stevens now. Today's episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. Sweatblock is a doctor-created antiperspirant wipe that you only need to use once or twice a week, and it lasts all week. What does it do? You wipe before you go to bed, wipe your body before you go to bed with the Sweatblock antiperspirant wipe, and you are sweat-free. You are not worrying about your T-shirt, not worrying during your day about sweat becoming an issue. The dry shirt guarantee is what Sweatblock brings you, or you get your money back. It is a bestseller on Amazon, for the past 10 years, over 13,000 positive reviews, manufactured in the USA. It's your little secret to confidence, and it is a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag. Sweatblock, if you know someone you love dealing with this, or you yourself are dealing with this issue of sweat, get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. Promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and your local CVS.
Real quick, before I get dragged on Twitter after the episode, which I probably will anyway, Caden Lyles obviously did not start at center in 2019. That was Tyler Biadasz, current Dallas Cowboy. He did start four games at guard. Just so I clarify that before everybody comes at my neck on Twitter, which happens anyway.
And that leads us into
you said two-year starter, Ben Kenny. You didn't dignify a two-year starting center. You said two-year starter, of which he has started for the Wisconsin Badgers in 2 years. You come at Ben Kenny's neck, you come at Asher Lowe's neck first, all right?
You know what? You know what, Ben? I'm actually going to give you something that is going to make you real, real, shall we say, nostalgic about joining the Locked On Podcast Network. Let's talk about rockauto.com, because this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. It is the place to go for all your online car parts, and it's also the place to go for Ben Stevens to sing jingles on Locked On episodes.
I can do it?
Do it right now. Give it all to right, me.
Here we go. Here we go. What's the tagline? You got to give it to me first. I know the final part of the jingle.
R-O-C-K-A-U-T-O, Rock Auto.
No,
Rock
that's
Auto.
The other one. That's the other one. What's the tagline?
I don't know that. Okay, go to rockauto.com right now. This is all I got, the tagline in front of me. See all the parts available for your car or truck.
All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto. rockauto.com. There we go. Got it.
Right, Locked On in that How Did You Hear About Us box at rockauto.com, so they know we send you amazing selection for reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Let's get into Big Ten betting. Ben Stevens, what is your new role? What do you do nowadays? It's pretty awesome. I've seen some on the street stuff. We've seen some Twitter capping stuff. What's your new role like over at Sports Grid?
So I work for a company called Sports Grid. It's the first ever digital sports betting company that runs 24 hours. We have partnerships with FanDuel. We are syndicated all across the country. I'm sure there are channels and stations up in the great state of Wisconsin where you can see us every day. But I host our show called The Morning After, along with my co-host Ariel Epstein, every weekday, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern. We break down pretty much every sport, including at this time of year, college football. I am seen as the college football guy across the Sports Grid network. So I like to add that area of expertise. Of course, my heart always remains in Big Ten country. So I host that. I also host a show on Saturday, which will be great throughout the college football season, called In Game Live. While the games are happening, we present you with the live betting opportunities that might be at play. So last week for Nebraska, Illinois, the Huskers open up and close at kickoff as a 6.5-point favorite. They flip to the underdog because Illinois is sticking it to them and they're getting penalty after penalty. And Adrian Martinez looks like he has happy feet. So I do a whole variety of things for Sports Grid. Basically, it's a sports media company, nationally syndicated both on TV, over the top, radio, and that way I can just give any kind of expertise I can lend to you guys.
Check him out on Twitter at Ben Scott Stevens. That's where I get all my favorite clips from the show. Ben, I have to ask, because you just mentioned the Nebraska game. It's going to be horrible podcasting, but behind you still are all the Big Ten flags, which I love. Is it on purpose that Nebraska's at the bottom of all of them?
No, can you guys guess actually what the setup is? Why the 14 flags, including the Big Ten Conference flag, are arranged in the way they have? Here's a hint for you. I have not changed them in a very long time.
Is that – that's not
last basketball year. Standings. Because Michigan's good at it.
Right. Because you have Michigan at the top. Those were the final Big Ten standings heading into the Big Ten tournament for men's basketball last March. Of course, that top spot might be a little bit of controversy there. Obviously, Michigan, the regular season champions, despite the controversy with Illinois, we all know how that went. Michigan making it to the Elite Eight, losing to UCLA because Franz Wagner doesn't know how to shoot threes, yet he was a top 10 draft pick. And Asher Lowe smiled the night away talking about Johnny Juzo.
Oh, that game was so fun for me. Oh, my goodness. That game was so fun for me. And you know what? We actually have a Pac-12 Big Ten matchup this week. So why don't we start there? Let's start with that one first. We're not going to talk about all these games too much. I think I definitely want to focus on the big ones, your Penn State, Wisconsin, Indiana, Iowa, obviously, Ohio State and Minnesota, probably the three premier games here. Michigan State, Northwestern, also a fun one. If you like the bottom of the barrel.
If you like that kind of thing.
I can definitely say it's a fun one, but Ben Stevens, I know that for a fact, knowing Ben. Let's start with Oregon State, Purdue. Ben Stevens, where do you see this one going? Purdue right now is 7.5-point favorite, as I last checked, over on Tally site. Which side do you like?
I like Purdue, obviously. I'm probably going to pick the Big Ten teams and a lot of games that I will not handicap. Do I have a strong lean or a handicap or an edge for this game as we sit here on Monday night for this Tuesday episode? Not necessarily. Listen, it's not anything that's unsaid right now about Jeff Brohm and his job security in West Lafayette. It has to be a better year. Two bowl games in his first 2 years have certainly regressed from there. Jack Plummer named the starter. He will be the guy that they go with for this upcoming 2021 Big Ten football season. They have David Bell back, who might be one of the best wide receivers in all of the Big Ten conference. Defensively, they have to improve in a huge way. If you are listening to this, Bob Diaco, you suck as a defensive coordinator. Why you got another opportunity in the Big Ten conference to be a DC is beyond me. But Jeff Brohm made a terrible hire last year. Bob Diaco has struggled like he always has, and the Purdue defense did not look good. However, if you are a Purdue fan, you can feel confidence in your two edge rushers returning for this year. And George Karlaftis, who is going to be very good, joined by his brother Yanni Karlaftis on the other side. Purdue's defense should be improved. I think Purdue's offense will do what they have always done under Jeff Brohm and be able to move the ball and put up points. It's just a matter of how many points can they score and how many points can the defense limit their opponent to not scoring. I would lean Purdue here. As we know, Oregon State, not necessarily the best team in the Pac-12. One of the teams that are predicted to finish towards the bottom of this conference this year. Jonathan Smith, I think it's his fourth year there now. Obviously, when you think of Oregon State, you think of former Nebraska head coach and Mike Riley. But this Oregon State team, not exactly one of the best in the Pac-12. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means on either side. 7.5 seems like a good number. I'd probably tell you Purdue to win by a touchdown. I'll pick them to win by 10, Purdue.
Ooh. I feel the same way. And honestly, you could group this game with Temple and Rutgers, even though I am a Temple guy being from Philly, and UTSA against Illinois. It's like, I'll take the Big Ten teams. I'm not going to come on here and tell you who UTSA's backup left guard is. You know, like I what I saw from Illinois week one. I like what I see from Brett, and honestly, I'm be rooting for him because it's good for the Big Ten. But I like Rutgers -12.5 against Temple because I just like Temple being bad at football. It's like even in Philly, no one cares. And then Illinois, UTSA, Illinois -6.5. I'll take Purdue -7.5 too because the Pac-12 sucks. And then we'll go on to the games that actually matter.
I'll take Oregon State +7.5 because, you know.
Of course you will.
Oh, yeah. Wow. No way. Really? Asher, no way. You took the team from Corvallis? Wild, man.
Yeah, man. You know, I think Wayne Tinkle's coaching them, right? Is he coaching football now too?
You better hope.
I hope he is. I really hope he is. You want to jump into the Big Ten? Let's get into the Big Ten. Ohio State and Minnesota. This game, to me, on this schedule of games, in terms of the spread, is the hardest to pick. There's a lot to me that leans towards thinking Minnesota could keep it closer than my heart wants it to be. I don't want it to be close. But it's a good time to play Ohio State. We talked about this on Locked On Big Ten recently, where I think this is probably the best time to play Ohio State. You get them at home. You get them in week one with a new quarterback and CJ Stroud, who I think is going to be phenomenal. But it's still week one. It's still his first collegiate snaps. It's an interesting time to play them, especially as 14.5-point dogs. Ben Stevens, where do you see this one going?
See, I think it's interesting you say that because a lot of people have looked at this Minnesota team heading back into 2021 and expecting them to look more similar to the team in 2019 than they did last year in 2020. And I understand that. But for me, Until I see Joe Rossi and that defense stop anybody, especially any ground attack in the Big Ten Conference, I'm not going to believe Minnesota's any more than a bowl-eligible six-win team. I'm not going to pick them to win seven games even, let alone eight. So I think 13.5, now 14.5, as it literally just moved on FanDuel. That's where I get my lines. They're our biggest partner at Sports Grid. With that being said, as I look at that movement now to 14.5, I expected by the time we got to this game week, it to move more in the favor of Ohio State. The fact that you could have had them at 13.5, which was a great number on the Buckeyes, in my opinion, to just cover by two touchdowns, I thought made a lot of sense because, yes, the expectation always is with Ohio State that the ceiling is very, very high for any new player they have in there, especially a quarterback. And until you see that player, maybe you have some doubt. But I expect C.J. Stroud will have a plentiful amount of riches at his disposal. Of course, I think Ohio State has the best wide receiver group in all the country. They have one of the best offensive lines in all the country. The secondary has their questions, certainly. But I look at that team gaining experience last year under Kerry Combs. So now I think of Ohio State in this part, in this number. Yes, it's on the road in the Twin Cities. I get all of that. But I still think Ohio State wins by multiple scores. If they won by 17, I would not be shocked. So I don't think it's a big enough number on Ohio State. The fact you see Alabama, who obviously is the reigning national champion, but also bringing in a new quarterback, bringing in a new running back, a new offensive coordinator, favored by 18.5 against a top 15 team in Miami. That's a little bit interesting. Now you have Ohio State favored by less than that against a Big Ten team last year that struggled mightily in the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and mainly defensively. So I think you're actually getting a pretty good number on the Buckeyes right now. I think they can easily win this game by 17 or more.
Asher, I feel like I'm going up against a gambling whisperer right now, which I like, honestly, if you're looking at the pick I'm about to make and you just listen to Ben say that, you probably listen to Ben because I think I like Minnesota. I like, there's something about the Gophers this year that I think they returned to 2019 form. And when you add the half point to 14, it's more enticing. I think their offense will be good enough to keep up with a lot of the teams they play this year. And then the defense, it just has to get better. It is impossible to be as bad as they were. So, and for all the reasons you mentioned, Asher, with Ohio State and this being first game with a new quarterback after their program best quarterback left the NFL, like they can't be as good on offense, yet I'm going to miss every single pick I make this year. So you might want to take the Buckeyes.
Big Ten Ben, you got any fiery takes on the Michigan State Northwestern Battle Royale?
I want to say one thing to Ben Kenny's point right there. I do think the number increasing to 14.5 now in favor of Ohio State. Ben brings up a good point. Now that number is past two touchdowns. So anything Ohio State does has to be past two touchdowns. It's a good bit of line movement as you approach this from a sports betting perspective, not just thinking Ohio State is going to win outright, but can they cover now more than a two touchdown spread? By the way, I learned all of my gambling knowledge from the fine folks at Daily Degen. So if you're hearing anything here, it comes from the mind of those very, very smart people. May they rest in peace. They are
very much alive, Ben. It's okay.
Are they? Okay, yes. Good to know. Are they? What did you say? Michigan State, Northwestern?
The game that has everybody's attention. Northwestern -2.5 at Ryan Field. Where does it go?
Here's my thing, and I think you guys have probably seen this on Twitter or at least something of the sort from me. I think Michigan State is going to be a good team this year. I have said on the record, and I will stand by it here on Locked On Badgers, this Michigan State Spartans team can win seven games in 2021. I think the talent overhaul that they have on this team now under Mel Tucker makes this Michigan State team so much better than we had seen in the past couple of years, even in the final years of the D'Antonio era. And I think it's more close to the team that we saw be competitive in the Big Ten East when that was their staple of the old mom and pop shop. As you guys know, our great friends at Locked On Spartans, now no longer Will Hunter, but Matt Sheehan. When the great thing about working at Locked On and as involved in this Big Ten community as we are across the network, you learn from smart people that cover their team each and every day. You get your insider knowledge. Will Hunter was one of the best of them and still is, and really broke down the talent roster for me back in spring football. And I'm like, okay. He makes some good points. Ben brought up Temple football. Anthony Russo, the transfer who did good things during his time with the Owls. Kenneth Walker III, the transfer from Wake Forest, who Wisconsin fans know very well because of that matchup in the Dukes Mayo Bowl. And then I think Michigan State has a lot of talent on the outside with guys like Jalen Naylor as well. So I think this team can be pretty good. And defensively, they're going to be a lot better as well because Mel Tucker treats this in a professional type style. That is where he comes from. He comes from a professional level and he looks at the talent and the transfer portal as a way to recruit. He pretty much says this is a business, as everybody really knows about college sports, but some people don't want to acknowledge this is a business. If our system does not work for you, best of luck in the transfer portal. Find a better scenario for you. We are going to get people that want to be here and highlight our systems to the best of their abilities. And I think more than any school in the Big Ten, Michigan State having a true winter conditioning, true spring workouts, true summer camp and fall camp benefits them to the most. So I think Michigan State can be a good team. I think the number in favor of Northwestern right now is probably spot on. I am not sure as I sit here on Monday if I'm going to be spicy enough to say that Michigan State beats Northwestern outright on the road to begin the Big Ten football season. But if I think Michigan State can get 7 wins this year, this is certainly one of them. So thus, let's declare it right now. I'll probably make this pick on Sports Grid later in the week. Michigan State goes to Ryan Field and pulls off the upset week number one.
Ooh!
Wow. I was checking to see if I was crazy or not. Kenneth Walker did miss the Duke's Mayo Bowl. He was injured.
Oh,
I wanted okay. to, or maybe he opted out. I just wanted to make sure if I was going crazy. I think I like Michigan State as well, just because like week one betting for me is about validating my takes throughout the year. And I am down on Northwestern after last year and all the talent they lost. And I think they really overperformed last year. And then Hunter Johnson, former 5-star recruits, their quarterback, we don't know how the hell he's going to be. Like, maybe it's more of the same, or maybe he turns into a stud. And they have Ryan Helinski as well. It's like, I'm not a Northwestern guy this year.
I'm not either. And Hunter Johnson, I've seen him live. We saw him in 2019
yeah.
a little bit. Not much to go off of. I'll just put it that way.
Hey, let's not forget 2019 for Northwestern. And now all credit to Pat Fitzgerald and everything Fitz has done with that Wildcat football program. The Big Ten West champions 2 of the past 3 years. But 2019 was the last time they did not have a solidified starter leaving fall camp heading into the regular season. And there was some of that confusion who would be named the starting QB this year. In 2019, we know how bad it was for Northwestern. 5 different guys through 6 total touchdowns through 12 games of collegiate football. It was abysmal. And what Northwestern has been able to hang their hat on the past 3 seasons is a very consistent defense. Well, this defense lost a ton, and I mean a ton of production. Patty Fisher, Blake Gallagher. Yes, Chris Bergen is back, but you look at the guys they lost behind them and Greg Newsom II. Brandon Joseph will be one of the best defensive backs in all the Big Ten Conference, but so much talent. And Fitz's right-hand man in Mike Hankwitz, who is the defensive coordinator for Northwestern for more than a decade. So you lose all of that, a lot of pieces in place, week number one with an offense that might not put up all that much. If Michigan State can score 20-plus, they are going to be in this game. And I think Michigan State has the talent offensively to be able to do that.
Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Perfect timing to go get your NCAA football picks in. Are you riding with Ben Stevens? Are you riding with Ben Kenny? Who are you riding with at BetOnline.ag? AG, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Also, of course, NFL right around the corner. And there's an opening day super promo with betonline.ag for the NFL season. You can bet on that opening game, Buccaneers, Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. Just a free $25 flyer right there using promo code NFL100 for new customers on betonline.ag. Promo code is locked on if you want 100% added to your initial deposit as a welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Let's get into the best 2 games of the weekend in the Big Ten. Indiana, Iowa. We'll start there. Wow.
Just we can wow. skip what Ben's going to say. We already know.
No, I got to hear it. I got to hear the Indiana love. Or is it Indiana love?
I hate the number. I wish they would have made it 3.5. And then I take Indiana to cover. I think where it is, I saw it last at 3.5. It's actually worked in the favor of the Hoosiers. I think it opened at 4.5. Michael Penix Jr., as Tom Allen said today on Depth Chart Day, 100% ready to go. You guys know I am the president and founder of the Michael Penix Jr. for Heisman Fan Club. I think there is value on Michael Penix Jr. to be a Heisman finalist come this season. They return so much offensively that is so delightful to see. You get Ty Freifogel back, the 2020 Big Ten wide receiver of the year. You return so much up front. If Michael Penix Jr. can stay healthy, you bring in the transfer Stephen Carr from USC, who was expected to do big things, a guy that was recruited higher than like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, this is really where he came out of when he went to USC out of high school. I think this Indiana team can do a lot this year. It is a doozy of a schedule, including this Big Ten opener against 18th-ranked Iowa. This is the game we all wanted last year during Big Ten Champions Week, the true 2-versus-2 matchup that we never got. So this is now what we have week 1 of the Big Ten football season. All of that to be said, Iowa is going to be very good this year as well. What they return offensively, if Spencer Petras can be even half decent, what they have in the ground game and what they bring back up front, Tyler Goodson is going to be one of the best running backs in the Big Ten Conference. They can be a very damaging team, much akin to Wisconsin and able of what they return. Secondary wise, what they bring back under Phil Parker is also really good defensively for Iowa. I think 3.5 with the home team in Iowa City on Saturday. God bless any Bush Light out there, because there's not going to be many left in Iowa City or the state of Iowa by the time this game is over. Oof. I don't want to pick against Indiana, so I'm not going to, but I hate the number. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Wow.
All right. I'll do it. I'm going to take Indiana. And the question you brought up is the big one with Iowa. It's Spencer Petras. There are three quarterbacks to me that enter the year in a similar vein. There's Graham Mertz, Sean Clifford, who we'll both talk about, and Spencer Petras. We've seen some really good from them. We've also seen some pretty bad from them. And Petras is the one guy out of those three that I don't see having a great 2021. Like last year, he was fine, but the team just beat the crap out of everybody. And Amir Smith-Marset ran 30 yards past every Wisconsin corner for like two quarters of that game. And then there were some real crazy head scratchers with him. Like I just don't see him as even a Nate Stanley level quarterback who was really good for Iowa. They just could never get over that Big Ten West hump. So I like Indiana because I love their team heading into this year for all the reasons you mentioned. And like I want Penix to prove everybody wrong, saying that CJ Stroud is already the number one quarterback in the Big Ten, even though he hasn't played. So I'll take Indiana. Plus, if Indiana covers, it's better for Wisconsin because then they will be up in the West in theory.
One more point about Indiana, and something I neglected because I focused on the Hoosiers offense. Their defense, although they do have a new defensive coordinator in Charlton Warren, who Kane Womack went to South Alabama, their defense returns so much talent, especially in the secondary. If you do not know the name, Tywan Mullen, as Ben Kenny also just said, you will learn it by the time Saturday's game is over. Don't forget, Indiana, one of the best teams in the country last year at taking the football away. I think we can expect to see the same. And if Spencer Petras is inconsistent and is not hitting like he did last year, it could be a long day for that Iowa Hawkeye offense. I expect Spencer to be better, but if he's not, Indiana will reap the benefits.
So we got three more days to talk Wisconsin, Penn State on this show for at least Ben Kenny and I, but we want to hear your takes. This is all Ben Stevens right now, talking Badgers and Nittany Lions. Last I saw the Badgers at 4.5, that number starting to climb up a little bit from at least the movement I saw. So Wisconsin -4.5. You don't have to give us a pick on the number if you don't love anything. But preview this game for us. What do you see?
Or do get a pick on the number, because that's what the people want.
Give me a pick on the number. I've seen Wisconsin at 5.5. It's worked in their favor on FanDuel. I love the Badgers at anything less than a touchdown, if I may be honest with you guys. Because I think when you look at this Wisconsin team, now I've said this, and I mean this, and I think you guys have maybe heard me say this, that I believe Wisconsin has the best team win total out of all the teams in the Big Ten. And it's 9.5 right now with the over having the juice. But I think if any team is going to go over their team win total, I look to Wisconsin. The schedule is so favorable. God forbid, dare I say, Wisconsin starts out these first four games of the year 3-1, maybe even unbeaten. This Wisconsin team can win 11 games very, very quickly. That is how high I am on the Badgers this year, because I believe they can do it. And I believe the schedule sets up very well for them to do that, including their toughest tests, all for the most part coming at home, including this week in Madison against Penn State. Now, I like Sean Clifford. I think he will be fine. And in the offense of Mike Yurcich, the new offensive coordinator at Penn State, but it's a more pro style offense that Sean Clifford, more the dual threat guy, not necessarily tailor-made for the offense of Mike Yurcich. They return a lot of depth to the backfield, Kevon Lee and Noah Kane, hopefully coming back from injury. Jahan Dotson on the outside, one of the best wide receivers in all the Big Ten Conference. Two great offensive linemen for this Penn State front as well. But I don't know. Listen, Penn State ended the year in a great way. To rally back and win four straight after starting off 0-5, kudos to James Franklin and the buy-in that he has. But defensively, they lose a lot, especially up front when you don't have Odafe Owe or Shaka Toney anymore. I think Wisconsin can take advantage with everything setting up favorably for them at home in Camp Randall, Wisconsin, by at least a touchdown on Saturday. So I'm going to take Wisconsin -4.5, -5.5, -6.5, even if it gets bet up to that. As long as it doesn't go past that key number of 7, I like Wisconsin.
Hell yeah. Actually, the only thing I'll say is I like the over. I think this Penn State offense, is slept on entering the year, especially with Noah Cain back. And like, they were solid last year, but Sean Clifford just, once he started stretching the field, couldn't complete passes, turned the ball over. But I like their attack. I like their skill. And I love the Wisconsin offense. And I think this week one sets up for a higher scoring affair while the defenses acclimate to the season, I guess. Like, I think the Penn State offense presents a threat. And I think the Wisconsin offense can just beat the hell out of the Penn State front. Excuse me. So I like the over.
Ben Stevens, one of my bowl predictions on yesterday's Wisconsin football bowl prediction show was that the Badgers would lose this game outright in week one and then win out. And I still think this is one of the scariest spots for Wisconsin all year. I am way more afraid of this game than the Notre Dame game. A couple reasons. Number one, I think week one is historically just weird. Weird things happen positively and negatively. But usually offenses aren't exactly ready and defenses are. And sure, that bodes well for Wisconsin. But the offense, if it's not ready, could not be mediocre. It could be nightmarish. Because Wisconsin had many games last year where, yeah, they played fantastic defensive football basically all game. Northwestern's a good example. And they had no chance.
Iowa's the best example.
And Wisconsin's healthier than they were last year. Davis and Pryor back, I think, is huge at wide receiver. Unproven at running back, but I have full confidence in those two. Oh, yeah, unproven.
How is Jalen Berger unproven?
Completely because unproven. He never carried the ball more than 15 times in a game.
And it was, and it was because,
player,
and it was,
but they didn't need him to.
By the way, we think it's because, oh, they
did. Oh, no, they didn't need him to. They lost games last year because they couldn't run the football.
And in addition to that, we learned last week that part of the reason could have been health issues for Jalen Berger and some kind of long lasting health issues that he had last year and that hopefully don't carry into this year, but could. Also, Malusi's listed as the number one back now. We'll see what that means, of course, on Saturday. But week one's weird. I think this is Sean Clifford's bounce back season. He has.
Oh, you like, do?
I do.
Bounce back from what? Like,
no.
Asher gave me disaster last year. All offseason for calling Sean Clifford a top four or five. I forget the number.
No. You called him three. You called him three.
No, that was before I published the article. I was working on it.
That was what I was trashing you for. He's not three.
All right, he's number five.
No way he's three. But
maybe give him five, but I don't even know if I give him I have a lot of reservations about Sean Clifford, and I do not think this offensive system under Mike Yurcich is set up to see him succeed. It was not last year under Kurt Schiracka, and we saw what happened. He looked lost. Out. He got replaced. Yeah. He got benched. Go ahead. I know we're running low on time.
Let's finish out with, I know Ben, Kenny, and I already gave ours in a Badgers Wire article. Ben Stevens, quick predictions. Who wins the East? Who wins the West? Who wins it all? Is anybody in the playoffs?
Asher, and we're doing ours tomorrow officially. So gotcha. I can say what I'm going to say.
Okay, cool. I'm going to say Ohio State and Wisconsin go really, really chalk in the Big Ten championship game, but I believe in it. Ohio State wins by two touchdowns, and that's
not even close. So we're going classic.
It's going to be like 10
that's
and
an
a half.
Out there take.
Probably being about a 10.5 point spread in favor of Ohio State. I think I will say this. As you're trying to get in your futures bet with only a couple of days left before the Big Ten football season start, Wisconsin by far has the best value. If you have a 6-1 ticket on the Badgers by the time you get to early December in Lucas Oil Stadium, hedging in middle opportunities, cash out opportunities, everything you would want.
Maybe. I remember we talked about that, and I was looking at the 2019 odds, a game that Wisconsin was up in at halftime by two touchdowns. Yeah. I was looking at the 2019 odds, and this team is probably at their ceiling better than that 2019 team, I'd say. But Ohio State's going to be dang good.
Quarterback probably isn't as good, but yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, goodness gracious. All right.
End it there.
We're almost ready to wrap this thing up, but I think Wisconsin was like a 14.5 point dog in that game. I agree. I think it could be closer to 10. We'll see. The money line won't be amazing value, but they'd probably be like around Ohio State probably around -3 something, I would guess, in that Big Ten championship game. We'll see though when we get there. It obviously depends on how the Badgers look. Ben Stevens, thank you for hopping on. Giving us your gambling expertise. The Big Ten hat is on. The Big Ten flags in the background. This was a lot of fun reliving the Big Ten Ben glory days.
And we'll do this again sometime.
Oh, we better. I hope I get back on. I'm a huge Spotted Cow and Culver's guy now. So let's go.
Well, there.
I'll talk to the booking department about that.
As always, on Wisconsin, we will see you on Wednesday.